Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, thanks for praying for me. I know that many of you heard the last... I know that many of you heard from last week that I wasn't feeling very well, and I'm getting better slowly, but this is kind of hanging on longer than I had anticipated and that stuff. So thank you for praying for me. Keep on praying for me, for my cold and some of the health things going on. And there's a few other people that I know of that are kind of struggling with the same thing here. So, keep on praying for us. I want you to know that I'm excited. I'm excited for a number of different reasons. I'm excited because it's Sunday, and I truly believe that this is the best day of the week. It's the day that we kind of start off the week, but I'm so excited because I get to spend my Sunday with you. And I'm excited because we've had amazing worship that has brought us into the presence of God. And I'm excited because God's going to speak to us this morning as we dig into His Word. And I'm also excited because you are not me. Okay, that sounds a bit weird, but hear me out. You know, I recognize who I am, kind of a short, dumpy-looking guy, okay? I understand that, but when I look out at you guys, I don't see that. Well, maybe some of you guys I see short, but no. But I see this huge kaleidoscope of people, right? Men and women, I see us of different ages, I see us with different likes and dislikes. So who likes country music? Who doesn't? Point proven. Okay, likes and dislikes, right? And the thing is if we were all like me, as handsome as I am, life would be boring for me. So I love the fact that we're all different. I also am excited that there's something that in the differences of who we are, there's something that has brought us together, and that is Jesus. We're here in this place because of Jesus. God has called us, as I prayed earlier on today. God has brought us here. We're not here by accident. We're here because God called us here, and we heard that nudge, and we have responded to us. Jesus truly is what binds us together as a family and as a community, as different as we are. Here's the thing when you think about this. Who here was raised in Brandon? About four of you. Okay, so the rest of us have come from BC and Altona. Don't ask me why I said those two in conjunction, but Altona and all parts of the country and internationally, right? Jesus truly binds us together. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that 2 years ago that we would be here in this group with these people together? I would never would have. So when you think about us being here together as a body here this morning, it truly is a God thing, as somebody has said. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that connects us together, and that we're all changing. It's probably something that you've never thought about, but it's the truth, right? We're all changing. We're all changing physically, right? Some of our younger people are starting to grow this way. Some of us older people are starting to grow this way. But we're changing. We're changing physically. We will not be the same today physically as we will be a year from now. It's kind of the way the life goes, okay? We're changing physically. But we're also changing spiritually. One of the cool things is that God does is this. God takes us from where we're at and moves us to another spot. So a year from now, on the 13th of January 2020, which sounds weird for me to say, but in 2020, we'll be in a different spot spiritually than where we're at. And hopefully, and what God desires for us is that this movement from here to here spiritually is a movement where He has spoken into our world and that we've grown in our intimacy with Him. Now, to put it in a different way, if put it this way, God wants us to have an ongoing, deeper love affair with Him. See, that's what He so much desires for me and for you. He wants us to deepen this relationship. In fact, one of the last songs we sang talked about this, the Ocean Song, talked about actually going deeper with Jesus. And I love that because that truly is, I believe, with what God has for us. And part of us going and developing and growing in this deepening love relationship with God, this love affair with Him, is that God may be taking us on a different journey than what we've been on before. In fact, I think that's part of the story of Joshua. As many of you know, that over the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking at the Old Testament, the different speakers, and we're going to be looking at different things within the Old Testament. And many of us are going to be looking at certain characters of the Old Testament. And this morning, I want us to look at the story of Joshua. Because I think in that story, God talks to us and has something really important that He wants to say to us about this deepening, ongoing love affair that we have with Him. As Bob said so very clearly, that Joshua was the son of Nun. And by the way, I'm going to remember that line for a long time. Okay? This is who Joshua was, and we know that he was born in Egypt. And so he actually saw all of the miraculous events that God did, right? From the plagues, to the Passover, and through the Exodus, through the Red Sea. And while they were traveling in the wilderness, Numbers chapter 13 tells us that Joshua was one of 10 spies who Moses sent out to look and to spy out the promised land. And that scripture tells to us that him and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two of these spies who came back and said, yes, this promised land is flowing with milk and honey. And yes, they got lots of big warriors in there, but God said, we can conquer it. He was one of two spies, him and Caleb, to say that to us. In fact, because of that, those two were the only ones who were allowed to live to see the promised land. So that's, in just a rough frame, a little bit about who Joshua is. I actually want to pick up his story in Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles or you have your phones, your electronic devices, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading, to start, the first two verses of Joshua chapter 1. It reads this way in my Bible. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. So what we have here is very simply this, is that a new era had now come upon the Israelite people. Moses, their leader for the last four decades or so, has now passed away. And that mantle of leadership has passed on from Moses on to Joshua. Verses 3 to 5. I promise you what I promised to Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I've given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates rivers to the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you, nor will I abandon you. So in this new era that has come upon the Israelite people with this new leader, Joshua has now been given this assignment. But it wasn't a new assignment as such, but it was the assignment that God had given to Moses. And his assignment was to conquer the promised land. The land from the south, from the Negev to the mountains of Lebanon, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. When you look at this, it's a huge landmass. Maybe not as large as Canada-wise at all, but was a huge landmass. And his assignment was to conquer it. But did you pick up Did you pick up what verse 5 said after God said to Joshua that this is the landmass that you were to conquer? He said in verse 5, yeah, I can go back. He said, "For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Folks, these must have been amazing words for Joshua to hear. See, though he saw that this land was conquerable back when him and Caleb and the other spies went to actually spy out the land, it was this enormous undertaking that God had called him to do. Because of all of these people and all these lands and all these powerful tribes that were living in this land. And God said, "Josh, I'm with you. You won't be doing this alone." What sweet music, I can imagine. What sweet music that must have been for Joshua to hear. Again, Moses was his mentor, and he saw and he heard. But now that mantle of leadership was on him, and he knows the people. He knows what they're like. To know that God was with him would have been a huge encouragement for Joshua himself. Folks, that's what God does. When God gives us assignments, whatever they are, if he nudges us to go in deepening our relationship with him, to go from here to here, he says, and his promise to us is that he will be with us. He will be with us as we do this journey. See, the promise here that was given to Joshua is echoed actually by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, when he said, "Be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." So the promise that was given to Joshua is actually the same promise that is given to us. And folks, if you could ever take words to the bank, this is them. This is them. That God will be with us on the assignments that he has given to us. And why I wanted to share this with you is because I think it's really important because of the challenge that I gave to us as a church 2 weeks ago. And Dwayne touched about this on this a little bit last week. You see, 2 weeks ago, as we started to look forward to December or to 2019, I gave us five challenges or five things to actually think about. And that's them. Is that what's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment with God? And if you remember from those days, I said that one of the things that God says to us is that he enjoys us. And I challenge us that maybe for 2019, God might be leading you into just enjoying God a bit more for who he is. Not for what he can do for you, but just for who he is. Another one I gave was, what's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? For we look at the story of Mary. And God said to Mary, when she became pregnant as a virgin, said, "Well, that's impossible." And God said, "But nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God." And so I challenge us to maybe, you might have something that is impossible. Maybe it's salvation of a friend, or maybe it's something else. And I've challenged you to maybe bring that impossible before God in 2019. In which spiritual discipline do you want to make progress in this year? And I talked a bit about this that day, and you can hear the message, but I talked about how God's given us certain spiritual disciplines. And that's gone off kind of by the wayside a little bit here in North America, but the really important things like meditation and study, fasting, and prayer. And so it challenges us that maybe God might be leading us into one of those things. Another thing I said is, what is the most helpful way, new way you could strengthen your church? Because as fractured as the church is, this is the tool, this is the instrument that God has given to us to actually impact our world. And it needs to be strengthened, it needs to be developed. And so maybe I challenge you with maybe serving in a different way, or maybe just being engaged with it a little bit more. And the last thing was this. What's one thing you could do to improve your prayer life this year? We're doing Operation Prayer. In fact, we got some of our notes up over there. And I challenge us to maybe deepen your prayer life, because it truly is one of the foundational things that we have, that our faith is built on, is prayer. So that's what I did here 2 weeks ago. I challenged us with these things. And here's the thing. If God has nudged you with one or more of these things to do, maybe it is fasting, maybe it is a new way of serving, maybe it is just finding enjoyment with God. He says that he will be with you. That you won't be doing these things kind of off on your own, but God will be walking alongside of you. And at times, he will be carrying you in and through these things. This is huge for us. This is huge for us in our deepening, ongoing relationship with God. That he just doesn't leave us when he nudges us towards something. He just doesn't leave us alone. He comes alongside and walks with us. Hugely important truth for us from the story of Joshua. But there's something else that Joshua said, or that God said to Joshua, that I think is really, really key for us as we journey with him. It's actually found in verses 6 to 9 of Joshua chapter 1. He says this, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything within it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Three times in this short little passage, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. I'm calling you to conquer the promised land, but be strong and be courageous." And let me tell you, Joshua needed that. He needed to be strong, and he needed courage. Because this landmass, as I mentioned, was full of tribes that he had to conquer. And he needed this as he went up against these things. Take Jericho, for instance. We all love that story, right? We all love that story in Joshua chapter 6. What God says to Joshua, he says, "I've given you Jericho, its king and all of its warriors." Great story, great. God is going to give Joshua victory over Jericho. But here's the thing. According to one source that I saw, it's this. Jericho was the most fortified city in its day. It was surrounded by a double wall. The outer wall had a stone retaining wall at its base. The retaining wall was some 12 to 15 feet high. On top of that wall was a mud brick wall 6 feet thick and about 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment was a similar mud brick wall whose base was roughly 46 above the ground outside the retaining wall. Folks, talk about a stronghold. Talk about coming up something that was impossible. That was Jericho. Because to the naked eye, how are you going to conquer it? It didn't make sense. It's no wonder. It's no wonder, folks, that God was calling Joshua to be strong and courageous. And oh yeah, here's how Joshua was to conquer Jericho according to Joshua chapter 6 verses 3 to 5. See, all he had to do was take himself and his fighting men, seven priests with the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to walk around Jericho. They were to walk around Jericho once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they were to walk around Jericho seven times. And then once they're done that, as the priests blew their horn, the people were to shout. And after that, that's when the walls of Jericho would come a-tumbling down. I don't know for sure, but I suspect that when Joshua was thinking about conquering Jericho, this wasn't the method. This wasn't the method. Yet this is what God had called Joshua to do. Again, no wonder God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Folks, we may not have physical Jerichos to conquer, but we all have our Jerichos nonetheless. Things that seem to be impossible, things that seem to be strongholds. It might be through a difficult time. You know, I'm really conscious of this, is that we really just don't know what's going to happen in our life in 2019. We don't. Because if you look back in 2018, and you look back some of the things that happened, you didn't plan them. Sometimes it's just living in a fallen world. Sometimes it's just being part of this life that not all things that go on here are going to be great and going to be perfect. That's why I think the word hope is such an important word for us as followers of Jesus. Because we have a hope for something better where there is no more pain or sickness or death. But in the meantime, we live on this earth and in this world where some of this stuff happens. And in 2019, you might face something like that. Something might come up, be it a health issue or some other thing, financial issue, something like that, that God says, be strong and courageous. He says, I am with you. I will be walking with you through it, but you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. We just don't know what 2019 will hold, but my suspicion is that it won't be all perfect. And in the midst of that difficult time, in the midst of that stronghold, in the midst of that inconquerable thing that you may face, this is what God says to us. But he says something very specific about how we get this strength and this courage. It's in the verses that we've already read. But I want us to reread verses 7 and 8. Which says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them from either, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything that you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in anything you do. Folks, this is where we get strength and courage. You see, I think that to a large degree, our faith journey comes down to that simple song that we used to sing in kids in the yesteryear, kind of like Jesus loves me. And the song goes like this. Read your Bible, Pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. God has given to us His Word. This book that I hold in my hand, this book that you hold in your hand, this book that you have on your phone, it's not just a fantasy book or a fairy tale. It's not. It is the Word of life. It tells us who God is. How do we know that He is the Creator of all? Because His Word tells us. It tells us what He can do. We see it in the story of Jericho. Conquer an unconquerable thing, God can do it, right? His Word tells us this story. His Word tells us of these stories and of these things that God did, about how He proved His power over and over again. It's this book that I hold in my hand, that you have on your phone, that you have in your hand. It is this book that tells us about Jesus. The Jesus that gives us peace in our heart, in our soul. It's this book that tells us how we do life and how we can emulate Jesus in all things that we do. It's such an important book. In Hebrews chapter 12, of chapter 4, verse 12 says to us, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. See, folks, this book, this is a powerful, powerful book. This is a book that tells us and shows us who God is. When we put on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, the last part of it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, says we're to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This book makes all the difference to us. You see, as we read those stories about how God was with people in the midst of the travels and the trials that they went through, and when we read in this book about how God took this unconquerable kingdom called Jericho and conquered it, and we see how God's moved and changes and transforms people, it gives us courage. It gives us strength to go on, because as God has done there, so He will do with us. One of the truths that we've been learning in our Operation Prayer Time is that God doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. So His promises are for us. When He says that He will be with us as He was with Joshua, that's not a lie. It's the truth. You often hear people in the midst of stuff when they go through things, you often hear people say and read the scriptures and pray. It's because this is where they're finding their strength. This is where they're finding their courage. So folks, if you want courage and you want strength in your life, study, follow, and obey God's word. This book is the book that helps us. This is the book that we can stand on literally as we grow and develop and deepen our faith. It will change you and it will affect you. This is the book that we deepen our relationship with our God with. So folks, I'm actually really, really excited. I'm excited about these truths that God has given to us. I'm excited that we can look at Joshua and take with what God said to Joshua and apply it into our life. As God called Joshua to be strong and courageous, so He's calling us on our assignments that God has given to us. But just as He encouraged him to follow and meditate and obey God's word. May we do that. And I'm so excited for us as a church, because I'm so excited to see how God will change and transform us as we as individuals stand on God's word. But I'm so excited for us as a church as we stand on and follow and obey God's word as a church too. Because it will change us. And it will transform us. It will take us from where we're at here spiritually to here. And who can't get excited about that as a follower of Jesus? God is with you. He's called us to be strong and courageous. We get that strength and we get that courage by being in God's word. May we hear what God is saying to us this morning. Shall we pray? So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the lessons out of Joshua and how you gave him this assignment, but you said you'd be with him. He called you and he told you to be in your word. Father, I pray for us. I pray for us that as a body here, that we truly would be people of your word. That we would be people of your word, that we'd be in it and doing it and following it, Father. That you change and transform us. And I'm excited, Lord. I'm so excited with what that's going to look like. I'm so excited of how you're going to change us and move us closer and more intimate with you as we follow these things, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word that you've given to us.